everyone, and welcome back to another episode, another edition, if you will, of Lead Singer Syndrome, a podcast where me, that's Shane Tolt, that's me, I talk to other lead singers about what it's like to be the front man or front woman of a band. And my favorite thing about this show, doesn't matter what kind of band you're in, does not matter. Last week, we had Brad from Leftover Crack and F Minus, very punk rock. The week before that, we had Mark Tremonti from Creed and Alter Bridge. And today, we got Travi McCoy, one of my favorite people in the world, mostly known as a rapper, although he's got a great singing voice too. I love this guy. One of my favorite people. We met back on tour together, opening for Fall Out Boy in 2005. So we're going back 15 years, but man, like, we didn't miss a step. This guy's one of the best, always been one of my favorite people I've ever stepped on tour with. And I've wanted to get him on the show for a very, very long time. And he's been through it, man. He's been through his ups and downs, professionally and personally, but he's back. He's back with some new music, and we talk all about that. You know him from the hits. You know him from Billionaire with Bruno Mars, Cupid's Chokehold, of course, Stereo Hearts with Adam Levine, big stuff he has done. So it's great to see him back, and thank you so much for tuning in. Before we get into that, a reminder, you can always get in touch with me. You can send me a good old-fashioned email at leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. Yeah, that's right. No TikTok for me, just email. But send me one. I read them all. I try to get back to everybody as well. And I'm about to go on tour. I think I might have more time. Maybe it seems a little counterintuitive, but I'll have some time while traveling, you know, get on the phone, write some emails. So send me one, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, and a reminder, the show will always be free for your listening pleasure, but I do rely on the members of the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. Shout out to my sinners worldwide. And for as little as $6 a month, you too can be a Lead Singer Syndrome sinner. Head over to leadsingersyndrome.com/all access for as little as $6 a month. That gets you in. That gets you all the perks, the bonus episodes, and of course, access to an amazing community of other fans of the show and myself. leadsingersyndrome.com/all access. Check it out. And while I have your attention, Maybe I do, maybe I don't. Doesn't matter. Whatever you are listening to this on, if it's Spotify, if it's Apple, some other weird podcast app I haven't even heard of, do me a favor and right now just hit follow, hit subscribe. It's completely free, but it does make a big difference. And if you like the show, tell a friend, tell a loved one. That's all I ask. I am so stoked on some of the guests we've had lately, and even more stoked for the guests coming up. So I don't want you to miss a thing. And yes, I am going back on tour with my band Silverstein. We are celebrating 21 years of being a band with three sets, our second album in full, a greatest hits set, and an acoustic set. We're going to be playing pretty close to 2 hours. So if you want to come out and see some live music, go to silversteinmusic.com. It's going to be a good time. Tickets are going fast. We are going all over the US and also playing Toronto starting on November 4th. So check that out as well. So if you've listened to this before, you know I always play a little clip right here in the show, and I debated, what am I going to play? Because there are so many great jams with Travi on them, but I decided to lead us in with a song called Taxi Driver. Check out these lyrics and my conversation with Travi McCoy.
I took cutie for a ride in my death cab. She tipped me with a kiss, I dropped her off at the meth lab. Before she left, she made a dashboard confessional to spill the guts in cursive. But what's worse is I can still see her bright eyes like sunny day real estate. Oh my, in a funny way the ceiling tastes so high, but no chance. My little chemical romance left a bad taste in my mouth. But I opposed her like, hey Mercedes, why the long face? Why you crying? No need, just put on this cold heat and fall out. Boy meets girl, Jimmy eat world, but Schlepp eats pills till he's all out. Not once, not twice, she was thrice times a lady, acting all brand new, but I had to bounce over to the postal service insta, pick up these pills that take care of my nervousness. And on the way, I saw planes and
Travis McCoy, what's going on, dude?
Blessings, I'm great, man. It's good to see your face, your smiling face.
Yeah, man, thank you, man. You got the best smile in the world. What are you talking about? It's just like, come on.
Don't make me blush on here, man.
Well, I'm here with Travis McCoy. You may know him from Gym Class Heroes. You may know him from all the solo stuff, all the collaborations, so much out there. And the exciting news is you're back. You're back, baby.
I'm back, man. Absolutely. It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you. Yeah, man. It's exciting. I mean, you know, you and I both have been doing this since we were wee lads. You know what I'm saying? And I definitely, you know, touring and everything that comes along with it definitely took a little toll on me. And living in New York City wasn't the best place for me to be, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
going through that madness. And I took some time for me, man. And it took a couple years, but I found a secret bunker somewhere in upstate New York, far, far away from Babylon. And I'm loving life, man. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah. Well, of course, you know, I know that you're from upstate New York, a place near and dear to my heart, you know, being that I'm from Canada, just across the border. I'd go down to shows in Buffalo. I wore my Buried Alive shirt today for you.
I see.
Probably my favorite hardcore band of all time from upstate New York. So it's kind of, you know, it's come full circle, right? You're back up there again. I know you were living in New York. I know you're living in Miami for a while.
Yeah.
Which I heard was a shit show. Bro, you know,
it's a nice place to visit, but you wouldn't want to live there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, here's the thing, man. And like, I was trying to think of what's my narrative here. Like, when I talk to you, a guy like you, because You can do all the interviews with mainstream shit or radio stations. Like, I feel like I understand you on a much deeper level.
Oh, absolutely, bro.
I'm not trying to say that like to be I'm fucking better than anybody, because I don't feel like I am. But
no, we walked in fire together, bro. We definitely walked
right.
in fire.
Yeah, we did. I mean, 2005, on tour with Fall Out Boy, we were direct support. You guys were opening up. I had never heard of your band before. You were doing different shit and everything, but like, you know, all of this, like all the success you've had with Bruno Mars and those collaborations and huge, huge stuff. Like, I feel like you down in Miami, like partying with Pitbull or whatever, like I'm picturing.
I never had him do it, but I know where you're going.
But I feel like, you know, knowing where you came from and you rapping about Hot Water Music and Jets to Brazil, you know, in early Gym Class stuff, you come from a much different world than a lot of your mainstream peers, right?
Oh, absolutely. And thank God I never bought into that shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but real talk, man. And when Gym Class started to take off, it was complete culture shock for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, we come from the mud, you know what I mean? Fucking six dudes in a van. You know, in a double axle trailer. So actually a single axle trailer in the beginning, you know what I mean? You know how it goes. And, you know, and then to have like, you know, all this success and all these accolades and whatnot, but it puts you, let's put it this way, because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but it's not Warped Tour anymore. You know, once you're in
right.
that world. And part of me, like in the beginning, I was like, anybody would be like, whoa, this shit, you know what I mean? Glitz, glam, all this shit. But like in my heart, it was just like whenever I go out in LA, I just didn't feel like I was supposed to be there. You know what I'm saying? Or like, for instance, I stayed with Pete from Fall Out Boy. I stayed at his, when he first moved out to LA. I'm like, let me check it out. Let me give it a chance. I stayed with him for a while, like a few months. And no matter like what party I was at or wherever the fuck we were at, I still felt like I'm not supposed to be here. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like that weird, like something that you would think would go away in those situations, but it never did for me. And my management tried to get me to move out there for years, and I just couldn't do it, bro. I could not do it. The same. And I say to say this, I've seen what LA has done to a lot of people. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I agree.
If you were flying a wall, you'd be running back across the border. Like, I jetted my ass right back to New York. You know what I'm saying? Right.
I know it is funny though when you're in a place like LA and you just like you're hanging out with a group or whatever and you realize like no one's actually from LA. we're all from cold ass cities and it's, I don't know, it's weird. It's kind of a city of pretenders, you know? And I feel like you sometimes can't shake that, hey, maybe I'm one of them. Like maybe no matter how legit you are in your art or your talent or your music, sometimes like everyone suffers from imposter syndrome, you know, of that. I mean, did that happen to you? Like, did you just feel like...
I left before it did, you know what I'm saying? I took off before it did, and you know what I'm saying? Like, and growing up, like, you know, you always hear, like, you go to New York and live there one time, but leave before it makes you too rough or too tough, and go to California and leave before it makes you too soft, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't even give it a chance to make me soft. I was like, fuck this shit, I'm out. Like I just knew my feet didn't fit the concrete there. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
And beyond that, like I was heavy in my rascal days back then. So I think, bro, had I made the choice to move to LA, I probably wouldn't be doing this podcast with you right now. Like, real talk. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, and I know there's been a lot of darkness, mm-hmm. and I want to get to all that. But let's start at the beginning. You're talking about growing up, obviously, you know, in a pretty small town between Buffalo and Rochester, you being a half black kid, mm-hmm. Getting into punk rock and the scene. And, you know, I think I read about you, you know, having to turn your Cannibal Corpse shirts inside out at school. So, you know, like, what was that like? Obviously, like, you probably felt pretty different then, but, you know, you ended up kind of combining your love of, I'll just call it rock music to be a little lame, but I'll say punk rock. It's better. And, you know, and hip hop and everything. And you formed a band that at the time, like no one was really doing that.
No. And we got fucking shitted on for it for a long time. But the thing is like, we never showed it. You know what I mean? Like for instance, like what the fuck are we doing on a bill with you guys? You know what I mean? like back then it made no sense, but it made all the sense in the world. You know what I mean? And that was one of the beauties, though, because like it gave me tough skin. I'm looking at the title right now, Lead Singer Syndrome. It made me a better lead man. Like you know what I mean? Like taking all those fucking rotten flowers and tomatoes and taking them and like instead of throwing them back, like fuck it. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna eat this motherfucker in front of you and enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? it definitely gave me tough skin not fitting in. You know what I'm saying? In all through high school. And even before high school, you know, I knew one being like 6 foot tall in fifth grade, you're already odd man out. You know what I mean? But then being biracial, people expect you to, it's so weird. I mean, you know, the high school structure, everybody has their cliques, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
here I am, you know what I'm saying? Like this big sore fucking thumb, but I embraced it. You know what I mean? I embraced the shit out of it. And, It just seemed like too much work for me to try to be cool or try to, you know, like be a part of a clique or you know what I mean? I feel like misfits find each other, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
that's how Gym Class Heroes happened. A bunch of misfits found each other, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I was always just amazed there was so much talent was found in that town. Like, I mean, like what a group of musicians. I remember, you know, not knowing who you were, and the first day on that tour, that Fall Out Boy tour,
yeah,
watching you guys soundcheck, you know, the opening band, being like, what? Like, this band is so good, man. Like, you got the best drummer, you got the best guitar player, like, your bass player's unreal, and then you've got this, like, you, man, this, like, charismatic frontman that's, like, managed to blend these styles. It's like, this is what the scene needs. And I guess that wasn't, you weren't always met with that acclaim, But you were a band's band. Like, bands always loved you guys. And you know, it's interesting. You talk about feeling, you know, like you didn't fit in and whatever. And I think a lot of people feel that way. Or, you know, you didn't have to try to be cool. But, dude, you're, like, so cool, like, anyway. And you didn't know.
And I tell kids this shit all the time. I tell kids shit, though. I'm so glad you said that. Thank you, by the way, for the compliment. But I tell kids this all the time. It's like, when you're trying, people see it. You know what I mean? And prime example, or example I use a lot when people tell me I'm cool. Off guard. I used to get asked a lot, you know, like who's your stylist? You know, like, you must spend a lot of time. Like, you know, I'm like, I would never pay. I've been dressing myself since kindergarten. Why would I pay somebody now? You know what I mean? But like, I've always just been into comfort. You know what I mean? Like, as long as I'm comfortable, I'm in it. But, thank you for that compliment. You just made my whole day. I didn't know it was that cool.
Oh, but no, man, I hear you. Like, I hear you talk about how you're an introverted guy, you're a homebody, but man, you were always just so friendly to me and to the band. And we always hung out and we just talked. Like, I would have never guessed that you had any kind of, demons or depression or anxiety. And, you know, obviously, like, you've talked pretty candidly about your struggles with addiction and stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was surprised when I heard all that stuff, you know, back in the day, and I lost touch with you a little bit.
Mm.
And I was surprised, and I was always like, man, that's just, he's just the best dude. And it hurt me.
Yeah, man. And you know what that was, right, Shane? It was basically just fucking toxic masculinity. Like, I didn't want anybody that I saw my addiction and,
right.
That's one thing I don't pride myself on, but I wasn't a social drug user or an addict. It wasn't for fun. It wasn't like, you know, let's party, let's fucking do drugs.
Right.
I was embarrassed. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, you know, this big dude, like, how can you let a drug make you so weak? You know what I mean? And for me, that was the hardest part, was like thinking I was keeping it from people. But it's hard to, when you're drooling on yourself, you know what I'm saying? Like, nodding out and shit. And I think, for the most part, for a long time, I think that I was such a functioning addict. And not that, you know, me being genuine was due to drugs by any means. I'm a pretty nice guy, but the last thing I wanted anybody to know or to think of me that I was, you know, a junkie or like, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't do what I had fucking dreamt my entire life doing without drugs. You know what I'm saying? And one thing I really, really, really do pride myself on is the fact that I glorified it. You know what I mean? I feel like we're kind of coming out of the fog now in music, hip hop especially. In music in general, I feel like we're coming out of this druggy fog. Like, we're the past like 5, 6, 7 years, all anyone talks about is being fucked up or getting fucked up. You know what I'm saying? And bro, I just turned 40, man. Like, this shit, I didn't think I made it.
Me too. I didn't know. I thought you were a bit younger than me. Are you 1981?
81. Yep.
Yeah. Me too. I'm also 81.
That's what's up, man. Yeah. So like, you get to a point, and not to sound like an old man, but like, you just get to a point where it's like, the fuck. What was I doing? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Yeah, I just totally lost my train of thought when we started talking about being old.
Well, no, I mean, you know, there's just the shift, and, you know, obviously, like, drugs and that was something that was in your music, like, big time. I mean, you rapped about it, you sang about it, you did, and you probably still will. And you can't just ignore that all of a sudden. Like, and a lot of people struggle with it, and your music's meant a lot to people too that have gone through similar things that you have, right?
Absolutely. And the fact that I mean, all I can do is speak on my experience and, you know, the fact that I made it through, and a lot of people don't, you know what I mean? And if somebody hears one of our songs and decides not to fucking, you know, take the keys to a car after they had a few, or fucking take that first, whatever, I feel like I've done something. You know what I mean? I just recently, I can't remember, maybe it was Toby from H2O. I just did his podcast recently. Shout out to Toby. He's the man.
Right on.
I think it was him, and I think he asked me what I wanted my legacy to be after I passed, and it's something I never, you know, like, I don't walk around the house going, what's my legacy going to be? You know what I mean? Like, so, but it hit me totally off guard.
I can picture Toby asking that question. It's a fucking intense question.
Super intense, bro.
To look into the camera and say that, it's like, oh, like, I wouldn't know what to say.
Bro, I was like, I don't remember what I said, but I'm sure it was from the heart. But, but like, you know, like looking back, it's like, you know, we're just talking about, like, if you know, what I did in this lifetime could help a few people, man, hopefully a lot more than a few, I'll be happy wherever I go next. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, man. And like, that's the thing, like, I think of you and, you know, our friendship going back so far, and my legacy, like my personal legacy of you, if that means anything. Like, your music's great, and I'm a huge fan. And I still put on, Paper Cut Chronicles, man. I still put it on. It still sounds really good, you know, all these years later. But it's just your personality, man. I'll always remember you as just like an absolute sweetheart that wouldn't hurt a fly. You know, that's what I think of. And I remember we did this like one-off show. I think it was in like Quebec City. Was it with Linkin Park, or am I mixing that up?
I don't think it was Linkin Park, but I think I know what you're talking about, though.
Stone Temple Pilots? I forget. We did this. I'd have to look it up. We did this festival 2 years in a row, and one time it was with Linkin Park. But man, like, I saw you. It was like, we never missed a beat. And like, that's just sweet. And I know you're a real ass dude, man.
And that's, you know, I think you can speak on this as well. Like, bro, I wouldn't change the way we spent our days for the fucking world. I wouldn't change it for the world. You know what I mean? Like it takes some fucking true grit to do the shit we did, man. And like grind through what we, you know, like all the, yeah. Like, and it's so funny, like, bro, like, this may be Geek Squad or whatever, but I just found, this was maybe 3 or 4 months ago. I found a Victory CD sampler. I'm like, let me put this bitch in. I'm like, let me put this bitch in real quick. And bro, like you were talking about earlier, just memories. It's like, what the fuck? This is crazy. And man, I'm just so happy to be here talking to you today, man. So happy.
Yeah, man. No, it's a beautiful thing. And you know, I think back to those days when you were, you know, in the van and trailer. You know, you were kind of taken under Fall Out Boy's wing at a point where, like, Fall Out Boy hadn't even gotten that big yet. Like, this is what people don't remember. It was like, there was a time when Fall Out Boy was like a cool underground pop punk band from Chicago.
Yeah, there was a time. There was a time.
There was a time. And, you know, we were on that tour, and it was Fall Out Boy's like first bigger headline tour, but they were playing like 1,000 to 1,500 cap rooms. We knew it was coming.
Absolutely.
But we didn't know it was coming
like that.
Like,
yeah.
Pete Wentz is going to be this like tabloid guy. Like, we didn't think it was.
Bro, imagine what that was like for me. You know, like one of my best friends in the world comes like just becomes a sex symbol out of nowhere. And I'm like,
right.
You know what I mean? He's like, let's go to Starbucks. I'm like, no. Cause I know why we're going to Starbucks. Cause you know, these motherfuckers are going to be out there with the cameras. You know what I mean? Like, It was such a paradox for me, because I'm like, it just happened right in front of my eyes, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I'm happy it happened the way it did, because we got to sit back and kind of peep and learn what to and what not to do. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
right.
There's really no manuscript that comes with that type of success, you know what I mean? Like,
no. And, well, that's right, man. There's no fucking playbook, especially for a band like you guys. And that's what I'm a roundabout way to this question or statement. That's like, you couldn't have seen it coming, even though you're on like the Fall Out Boy label, and there's a potential for things getting a little mainstream. Like when Cupid's Chokehold, you know, shot up the charts, and you guys were getting radio success, and then
complete fluke, complete fluke. But the best fluke in the fucking world.
Yeah. I mean, that paved the way for everything you guys did and your solo career and everything. But yeah, I mean, you clearly seems like you weren't really ready for it.
Shit, bro. It was, I mean, I was having anxiety seeing what the fuck Fall Out Boy was dealing with. You know what I mean? So like when it hit us, I'm like, shit, here we go. But like, you know, like you said, you know, Fall Out Boy, they did take us under their wing, and we were kind of like their like adopted Asian baby. You know what I mean? Like, they're look at our cute little baby. But I don't think anybody at the label or management knew what the fuck was going to happen with Gym Class Heroes. You know what I mean? I don't think we knew, but I knew what the fuck I wanted to do with the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years of my life. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And so when shit hit the fan, I mean, bro, going back to the weird fucking awkward introverted high school kid, now all of a sudden, you know, there's girls in the picture just throwing themselves at you, you know, that would never give you the time of day. You know, there's so much shit, you know, yes men everywhere, like, what do you need? I got this. You know what I mean? It's this if you don't keep your fucking, you remember that movie, what's that movie? It was Roddy Piper. He wears the glasses and he can see like the fucking the reptilian people, and then when he takes them off, everybody looks normal. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I didn't know Roddy Piper was an actor. That's insane,
bro. I think he might have maybe one or two movies, but one of them was called They Live, and it's kind of like this crazy Orwellian, yo, like, bro, like, just promise me you'll watch it.
Okay.
I'll just give you the gist. So he's given these special glasses. Basically, reptilians have taken over the world, and you can't see them because they're shapeshifters, you know what I mean? And somehow he gets this, I can't remember, because it's an old 80s movie, but he gets these glasses, and when he puts them on, he can see the reptilians. But also, all the billboards in, like, L.A., instead of saying drink Coke, when he puts the glasses on, it says consume, or, like, buy this, or, like, watch television, you know what I mean? Like, complete, total 1984. But what the hell is my point?
Hold on, I have a point. Well, I think that was how you felt like that, like with all the, like, yes men and like these women coming out of the woodwork, and you're like, wait a second, where's my Rowdy Piper glasses?
Exactly. So I'm thankful my dad gave those to me as a gift when I was very, very young. Not that I judge anyone, but I'd like to think I'm a pretty good judge of character and set boundaries, you know, to keep the people I don't want around me away from me very nicely, you know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. No, I found it right here. They Live.
Yes,
man. The movie poster is sick. Oh, it's John Carpenter. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And that's where Shepard Fairey, the guy that did the giant shit, he got that whole concept from that movie. Like all the billboards and shit, you know what I mean? Like consumerism. Yes, bring it up. Yeah, I didn't know you could do that.
There you go. Yeah, I got the tools here. Yeah, everyone can see this on Twitch.
Bro, promise me you will watch that movie. You have
to. Dude, I want, like, just looking at the poster, that is so good.
It'll blow your mind. And, yo, Roddy didn't do too bad. Not the best actor in the world, but he didn't do too bad, bro.
Oh, I love it, man. That's great. No, I have to watch. I'm honestly shocked I haven't heard of it, because, like, that's my time period, you know? Man.
Bro, the quintessential 80 movie. Yeah. That's like some, that was before, like, QAnon and all that shit. Like, this is some real conspiracy theory type shit. You know what I mean? Like, in 85, 86.
Absolutely, man. Oh, fuck. That's wild. Well, look, man, you're back. You got new shit out right now. That's why you're here. I'm not going to not talk about that.
Well, that's not why I'm here. I'm here to talk to my pal. I haven't fucking seen or talked to in a while. Let's be real.
Well, all right. Yeah, okay. All right. well, the new song, the new video, A Spoonful of Cinnamon. Man, this is it's a super intense piece. It's dark. It's sad. It's also important. You know, it's a statement.
Yeah, and I want it more than anything. I want, as dark and sad as it is, and as dark and sad as, you know, last year was for me. And this song is literally just me holding up a mirror to my last year, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate. But I'd like to think that it's hopeful as well. You know what I mean? And
well, yeah, it's kind of beautiful. Like a beautiful tribute to the people you've lost. And it's kind of the sort of song that the music, there's a, in the music and the lyrics and the video don't really display this, but the music has a kind of a cheerful element to it. Like there's an element of hope.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you can't really put your finger on it. You're like, should I be smiling or, you know what I mean? Like, should I be just taking this in or like my friend, it's funny. Like I use my friends to gauge music. Like whenever I make music, I hit up a friend, or if I have friends around, I'm like, what, you know, like I don't say a word. I gauge them. And it's funny, 'cause when I played Cinnamon for a few of my friends, they were looking at each other like, is that right to bob my head to this? I'm like, of course. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Well, it's, I mean, obviously, like, you know, in a way, sometimes music finds you more than you find music when you're writing. Do you know what I mean? And you can't always control what is going to come out. And obviously this is something that you needed to express.
Oh man, it was so cathartic. So cathartic.
Right, right. But as a first, like as a thing back now, it's like, it's setting sort of an ominous tone. But I mean, I expect there's going to be some more music coming. What are you working on? What's it going to sound like?
So the album's done. The album's done. I'm sitting happy right now. You know, this is the fun part. You know what I mean? So we dropped a Spoonful of Cinnamon this summer. I just dropped a new video a few weeks ago for a new song called Love Me Back to Life. But back to Spoonful of Cinnamon. I felt like this urgency to get that song out in particular, you know what I mean? Like coming back from, after losing both my grandparents, after meeting them for the first time, you know what I mean? Like last year, like like the song, like you said, it practically wrote itself, you know what I mean? And
wait a second. Sorry. Did you say you met them for the first time?
Met them for the first time, both for the first time. Last year, and they both passed last year. Like it was intense. A few months apart, actually. I lost my Nana first, and then my Papa passed a few months after. It was outrageous. I mean, it was left and right, bro. I can't even count how many fucking funerals I went to last year, man.
sorry, man.
Yeah. Fucking bummer, man. A bummer, but. Yeah, man. Like it's a long story, and I won't draw it out. But I'd never met my mother's father, and it was his 80th birthday, and I was like, you know, and he had for years, you know, like told my mom, like, I really want to meet him. I really want, you know, and I'm like, 80 is a big one. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, let me sneak up on him. And I'll never forget, man, my first night there, it was pretty emotional. And, my Nana was like, he's been up all night pacing, like, and saying, you think he's going to like me? You think he's going to like me? And it was tough, man. But I know for a fact now, where I get my big heart from, you know what I mean? For sure. Like, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the kindest fucking, I mean, he was a sheriff. Like, he fucking photo albums for days. You know what I mean? Like, he gave me the whole spiel in a couple of weeks, you know? And he was a sheriff for years. He got shot. He was a gangster, man. Like, he was messing with like one of the neighbor's wives or some shit, and the neighbor shot him.
Oh my God.
He was a whole gangster. Shout out to my grandpa, man.
Holy. Well, that, I mean, you bring up police, like in your video, obviously, like, you know, you're on the ground with a knee to your neck, which obviously everyone knows that reference.
Absolutely. I would hope so.
For you, as you know, a person of color, to film that and to put yourself in George Floyd's shoes and I mean, man,
to say the least, it was a very, 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 very awkward set after we shot that, and it was a good.
I can't imagine being the cop that has to play that role.
And shout out to him as well. He was actually a really, really, really great dude. He was from Sicily, and you actually, let me start by saying this. Do you know how many actors turned down that shit? Like, bro,
Sure.
It took us like up until the very like the night before to find three guys to play. Nobody wanted to touch it. You know what I mean? And for me, bringing light to that situation, not anyone needed me to bring light to to what happened to George Floyd, but I feel coinciding with the song and race aside, politics aside, police aside, I feel like that knee on my neck was a metaphor for 2020. You know what I mean? And
right.
I feel like everybody felt that pressure. You know what I'm saying? And visually it I feel like I think a lot of people may not even just the cops, not the people that were supposed to play the cops. I think a lot of people were scared to really visually speak on it or talk about it. You know what I mean? And I remember bringing it to. I wrote the whole script for the video and I had a few other ideas that may have been way more intense than the last cut. But
oh wow, okay, it's hard to imagine. More intense than that video.
Yeah, bro. So, but the hardest part for me was cutting that scene and looking up and seeing my fiance crying, you know what I mean? Like, and I think in that moment, we both knew that this shit could really happen. You know what I'm saying? And like, she could be on the sidelines at any moment, helpless as fuck while I'm getting murdered. You know what I mean? And that shit, that moment we locked eyes, I was like, holy fuck. Like, this shit just got real, real. You know what I mean? And I think we I think we got it the first time, but it took a good, I think it was about 45 minutes with me, with the knee on my neck and shit. But I don't think there was a dry eye on set after that shit, man. And
right.
I'm choked up thinking about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know Dale Restigini, Rage, and that he did awesome work on that. He actually directed our video for My Heroine.
And you know what? That and Rage brings you guys up all the fucking
time. Really?
Swear to God. And a matter of fact, when I found that CD, I was like, I thought of Rage too. Like, I thought about you guys and I thought of Rage. Like,
wow.
Bro, he shows it to everybody. Everybody he pitches videos to, he shows it to. I shit you not, to this day.
When we did that video, I'm surprised he remembers it, because I barely remember. We did something really stupid. Like, we did a show the night before. It was such stupid planning. And we did a show and it went kind of late. It was like 3 hours away from where we were filming the video. And then we had to start shooting the video at like 7 the next morning.
God damn.
And we were just like total mess, like messes. But
I'm sure. Hey, that's that commitment though. That's that commitment juice.
Did Dale do the I'm in love with the Coco video too?
He's done a lot of shit, man. I would not put it past him. I'm in love with the Coco. I wouldn't put it past him. He's done a lot of shit. I know he's done shit for Soulja Boy, like He's done a couple gym class videos, yeah, man, he did the cookie jar video, and we got, man, that was fun. Actually, we shot two videos in one day with Rage. He don't fuck around, man. He is straight to the point.
Yeah, I always feel like he's the kind of guy that doesn't make your video, you make his video, you know? And I sometimes like a director that's like going to tell me what to do. Like, please tell me if what I'm doing looks stupid, okay?
For real, you need that sometimes, you know? Like, and you know me, I pull faces on stage all day. I'm like, yo, if I look dumb, please. Like, tap my soul, trap, not this time, you know what I mean? Like,
Well, man, everybody should check out the video. You're gonna feel something, that's for sure. A Spoonful of Cinnamon, great title too. So, record coming out. I don't know what you can talk about, because I don't think it's been officially, announced or whatever.
No, we're gonna do that with the next joint, but the album is coming. Shout out to Hopeless Records, you know what I mean, for being as awesome as they are and having faith in this record. Like, bro, Shane, I can't tell you how excited I am for to like we'll let the world hold this baby for a little while, you know what I mean? Until the next. But yeah, man, it's gonna be a great upcoming few months, man. A great upcoming few months, to say the least.
Absolutely. So like what's the plan personally with you? Like obviously you're back on the horse here. I know you're not a huge, like, want to go on tour guy.
Oh, no, bro. I've been, are you kidding me? I'm going crazy in this fucking house. Like pandemic, like, you know, being stuck in the house. Like, here's the thing. We both know touring's a love-hate thing. You know what I mean? Like, fucking 3 months into the tour, you're like, I need to get home. Fuck this shit. A week and a half of being home, you're like, I need to get back on the road. You know what I'm saying? So it's been, you know, I did a couple one-offs last year or actually right before the pandemic. So it's been a good, aside from those one-offs, a good eight, nine years. So I'm ready to go. I'm revved up. I cannot wait.
I love it, man. I want to open the chat here for anybody that has a question for Travi before I let you go.
Word up.
What do you listen to these days, man? Like I always wanted to ask you that question. I know it's kind of a generic question, but just as a guy that comes from so many worlds, what's like really inspiring you or making you excited? And you can say anything from the latest, greatest thing to freaking old hardcore. I don't know like what you're...
As far as inspiration goes, like when I'm writing, I try not to listen to a lot of new stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the record's been done for a minute, so I just been like digging. You know, I'm a nostalgia junkie. You know what I mean? So I go for my old shit. I got tons of vinyl. I recently just got back. Are you familiar with Richard Swift?
Richard Swift?
Yeah.
I don't think I am. No.
Yeah, he passed away a few years back, but he used to tour with the Black Keys, and he actually put a record out posthumously, and it's called The Hex, and man, I can't get over that record. So Richard Swift, Polyphia. I'm not sure if you're up on Polyphia, but
yeah, I'm familiar with Polyphia. Sure,
I love those dudes to death. But as of late, you know what I do? It's crazy. Lately, I've been obsessed with YouTube thanks to COVID. I was never really heavy on YouTube, but now I'm like, what's recently added? But I got addicted to at nighttime, smoking a little something and putting on lo-fi hip hop beats, and there's like millions and hours and hours and hours, and I get the best sleep ever. But I also wake up feeling like I need to make music. You know what I mean? So it's like a twofer.
Right, that's good. Yeah.
But yeah, man, there's
I love it.
There's not a lot and it's sad to say there's not really a lot that's amusing me at the moment. But who the fuck am I? You know what I mean? Like, but I will say the fucking new Turnstile record is fucking insane. It's absolutely ridiculous.
It is.
Shout out to those guys for making a fucking hell of an album. And I just picked up the new the deluxe Run the Jewels, which I've been giving a listen. Yeah, I know that record back and forth, but I love having the instrumentals to any record just so I can talk my shit over them. You know what I'm saying?
Cool. No, I love that too. That's one of your many skills. When you talk about like all this different music, and I feel like your musical taste and knowledge is so much deeper than a lot of the, you know, more mainstream people you've collaborated with. Is that ever a roadblock? Like, are you ever hanging out with Bruno Mars and you're like, so like, you know that like one breakdown on that Every Time I Die record? And he's like, no.
here's the thing. Bruno's a bad example because Bruno might play it for you. Like, that motherfucker is a walking jukebox. And if he doesn't know it, give him 7 seconds of it and he'll play you the entire fucking song.
Insane. That's cool.
Like, that's how he's yeah, bad example. But I know, I hear where you're coming from. I feel like I just always sought the knowledge. You know what I mean? I feel like, I don't want to say that we become lazy because of the internet. But I was the dude at a very young age that would buy an album because the record, because the cover looked cool. I still romanticize about those days when, you know, walking home from the record store, looking at the credits and you know, seeing who produced what or who wrote what. And that shit is like, it's almost gone, man. And
it is, man. Yeah, the whole idea of even album artwork. Like, obviously, like, sure, a cover is important, always has been, but, you know, we used to put records together. We were thinking, like, okay, what's page 6 in the booklet going to be like? And now, like, who cares what you know, about that shit?
I used to spend a week and a half of my thank yous, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I can't forget nobody or it's my ass, you know what I mean? But it's man, and there's actually a documentary, I think it's called something along the lines of the long lost art of the album cover. And I think I might watch it tonight. But I got a bunch of books, coffee table books on, you know, old super psychedelic looking jazz records. It's just literally all album covers. Like, and speaking of album covers, my man Mike Fudge, shout out to Mike Fudge. He did the album cover for my new album. And you guys are going to be fucking stoked. Because, I mean, I've been wanting to work with Mike for a long time, and I know for a fact, like, he hit it right on the head, and all the artwork and all the merch, they're all going to be combined, but we're going to push it a little further with this artwork because it's too good. It's too good.
Absolutely, man. No, I love it. And the new album will be announced at some point. Okay. So look out for that. I know you can't spill the beans right at this moment, but it's coming. I like that. At least you're telling me that much.
Absolutely, man. I never see you wrong. Never see you wrong.
And I'm just looking here at the chat for some questions. This the Ryhill Shy Bulls, shout out to Michael Jordan. He is asking about Crab Apple Kids. He wants to flex on your old stuff, I think.
Oh, shit. So that's crazy. So Crab Apple Kids was a song on one of the first EPs we ever did, Greasy Kids Stuff. And Crab Apple Kids, that was basically, and still is, my crew. You know what I mean? All the kids, my A1 Day Ones, all the kids I grew up with, all the kids I got into a ton of mischief with, all the kids I wrote graffiti all over the United States with, you know what I mean? Like, a bunch of Randy Pirates we are, I tell you.
Love it. And the other thing he asks, and I want to know this question. I meant to ask it earlier on and somehow got lost in the shuffle. Getting signed to Fueled by Ramen, how did that exactly happen? And did you know at the time that Fueled by Ramen was going to take you to any mainstream level? Because you must have known Fueled by Ramen more from putting out...
Less Than J.
Less Than J. Yeah, exactly. Oh, like, boy, yeah. Ska records and shit. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So our main objective... with any label, and you know, we and this is still back in the days of fucking burning CDs and sending them out and hoping to get, you know what I mean, an email back or whatever. Like, I mean, we were privy to Fueled by Ramen, and like I said, our main objective, or I didn't say it yet, but our main objective was we want a fucking van, a trailer, and a booking agent. You know what I mean? Like, that was it. Yeah, in advance would be cool, but if not, just get us a nicer van, you know what I'm saying? Simple dudes. And so, you know, we started hanging with Fall Out Boy, and you know, they were really stoked on with Taxi Driver, us giving them a shout out on that. And Matt and I, Gym Class, went and saw Fall Out Boy for the first time in Buffalo years and years, a couple years before we were like that, you know? And not to take forever to answer this question, but I remember going to see them in Buffalo, and I'll never forget, because it was a day that Ray Charles died and Patrick was in the dressing room crying. And I knew from that moment, not only was he a big pussy, but he had a huge heart. And I never stopped loving him from that day forward. I swear, I was like, who, what? Like, this little white kid's in the dressing room crying because Ray Charles died. Like I wanted to just hold him, you know what I mean? But anyways, but that was my first time seeing a crowd hang on to every single, I mean, I grew up going to hardcore shows and leaving without being able to talk, you know what I mean? But like, I mean, it was, it, to me, and it was a small show in Buffalo, but like, to me, it was like watching how people reacted to Michael Jackson in those old videos. You know what I mean? Like, these kids were holding on to every fucking word. And I looked at Matt and I was like, yo, that's what I want. You know what I mean? And so the more we started talking with Pete, we got introduced to Crush Management and decided to rock with Crush. And then when it came down to the label thing, we had started talking to John Janik. And initially, they printed up some EPs for us. We had already booked a small tour for ourselves. They printed up some of our EPs so we could make a little money on tour and shit. And then they put us on tour with Less Than Jake. That was like our first like official Fueled by Ramen tour. And you know, Less Than Jake fans don't fuck with nobody but Less Than Jake. You know what I mean? I learned that the first couple shows, but I rolled with it and I had fun with it. Like, you know, every other show that we weren't necessarily, you know, like fit to be on the bill for. And, yeah, man, that's when I met Vinny and, you know, and it was just like, but as far as us being upstreamed to Atlantic, I had no idea that was part of the deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I didn't think you did, but I do. I saw that question there, and I kind of wondered because it was unlikely success that was a beautiful thing, and I'm so proud I was so proud of you guys to see that, and
that means a lot.
And yeah, I remember a couple years after you guys were in Las Vegas for the like MVAs.
Oh yeah.
And Fall Out Boy had like a party at the top of the Palms.
Yes. Oh, what a crazy
night. And I was downstairs trying to get in, and of course it was, I can't remember who it was from your band. One of you guys came down and like got me in, and he said, like, as I was getting taken to the crowd of like, you know, MVA people in Las Vegas at the Palms, he turned out, fuck, it was I forget his name, you know, the flag guy.
Oh, the Jesus,
of course, the Jesus.
Yeah.
And he turned to the security and went, what the fuck, you don't know who this is? and
yo, that's the Jesus' signature fucking move, and it works every time. Yo, with that thick Bronx accent, it works every fucking time.
And I was like, this is great, because I would never have, I will never say that. But if somebody says it for me, all right.
That's why everybody needs a DeJesus in their life, man. Everybody needs a DeJesus in their life. That's amazing, man.
Oh, man. But yeah, no, like I remember that day and just hanging out with everybody and being like, man, this is just crazy to see these.
It was nutty. Yeah, we won Best New Artist that year, man. That was intense. Super fucking intense.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, it's so good to have you back, Travi. Thank you for taking the time. Thanks to everybody here on Twitch and everybody listening on the podcast. And anything else to tell the people, man, before I let you go?
Hey, make sure you go peep the new Dave Chappelle. I watched it this morning. It's out fucking outrageous. Outrageous. But beyond that, hey, be well. Love each other. I was trying to act like my computer was cutting out, but I was really stuttering. Keep each other safe. And man, thanks for hanging out with me and Shane. And Shane, thank you for having me on the show, man.
Travi, man. Of course, man. Keep in touch.
Always. Big love.
All the best, man.
Easy.
Peace and love. See you later. So there it is with one of the best, Mr. Travi McCoy. We did that live on Twitch. So make sure you don't miss all the great stuff that I'm doing on Twitch. Head over there, twitch.tv/ShaneTold, and give me a follow. You never know who is going to come up. And it's great because people can interact. So it's a lot of fun. I want to thank Travi so much for taking the time. And I want to congratulate him on all of his new music. Some of it's out now. More of it is coming out real soon. You don't want to miss it. He is one of the best lyricists in the game and a real ass dude. All right, next week, I will be back with another singer in a different world than the last three. Mr. Landon Tours is back on the show, of course, from The Plot in You. We're about to hit the road together, so I thought it would be a good idea to pick his brain about their new album and how we're both feeling about getting back on the road. So don't miss that one. Anyway, I will leave you with a tune. Here it is, the song we spoke of. Go watch the video too. Very heavy, but very important. A Spoonful of Cinnamon, Travi McCoy on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. See you next week.
One 2020, the day the Lord took my best friend from me, and I kinda find it funny, but not really though. I should have been 6 feet 20 years ago. I'll never forget all the laughs we had in the hoopty whipping through the country. He had a way of making cloudy days sunny, but what I miss most was when he would sun me like, Travi, do this if you love me. I love you, Bob.
Too old, too old. So long to the bitterness. Just a spoonful of cinnamon. You know, I know, this neonic is causing me to choke. Like a spoonful of cinnamon.
Last year I flew to Jessup, Georgia to meet my papa and my nana, the family of my mama. All my life I was scared, he never cared for me. Because my father was black, he couldn't handle that. I could see his shadow in the doorway next to the wind chime. That's poetic justice, cause it looked just the same as mine. Then he apologized for lost time, and then I lost them both, and damn near lost my mind.
Too old, too old. So long to the bitterness. Just a spoonful of cinnamon. You know, like a spoonful of cinnamon. Feel like I'm stuck in a hole. It's kinda cynical. Down in these bottles, it's getting old. It's not the way, it's not the way, it's not the way. Too many funerals, biting them down in a cuticle. It's not the way, it's not the way, it's not the way.
Think I had season tickets to funerals. I'm so sick of seeing rest in peace t-shirts. I swear I prayed so many prayers, my fucking knees hurt. And COVID got us all stuck in the house like mousetrap. And ain't no telling when the hell we gonna bounce back. Plus it's open season on the melanin incline. We all had shitty years, thanks for hearing mine.
Too old, too old. So long to the bitterness. Just a spoonful of cinnamon. I know, this neonic is causing me to choke, like a spoonful of cinnamon.